Imagine waking up on a Tuesday morning in early 2015,
Okay.
and someone just sits down next to you with a crystal ball, and they tell you that in just 10 years, a global pandemic is going to trap you in your house for months.
Oh, wow. Yeah, you'd think they were crazy.
Right. And they tell you that artificial intelligence will be writing your emails and like passing the bar exam. They tell you that the biggest geopolitical battle on Earth won't be fought with nuclear weapons, but over microscopic computer chips and Canadian dirt.
Canadian dirt. Yeah, it sounds absurd.
Oh, and you'll be getting a large chunk of your political news from 3-hour audio shows hosted by comedians and tech billionaires.
I mean, you'd probably recommend they seek psychiatric help immediately.
Exactly.
It sounds like science fiction or a dystopian novel, really.
It totally does. But that is exactly what happened. And it happened so incrementally and sometimes so chaotically that it's hard to step back and see the entire architectural shift.
It is.
So, welcome to the Deep Dive. We are thrilled you're here with us today because our mission is incredibly ambitious.
It's a big one today.
Yeah. We're unpacking a genuinely fascinating historical synthesis. It's a document known as Dossier Trump 2015-2029, Appendix A.
It is a remarkable piece of historical curation, to be honest.
Truly.
What we have here is a meticulously structured chronological list of the 100 most important events spanning a 14-year block from 2015 to 2029.
And it's accompanied by Appendix B, right?
Right. Appendix B serves as a powerful reminder that while we discuss massive tectonic geopolitical shifts, these events were ultimately driven by people.
The top 100 influential people of this era, specifically.
Exactly. From tech innovators to climate activists to, of course, political leaders.
What's really wild is how this document frames that 14-year period. We aren't looking at a normal historical era.
No, we really aren't. What's fascinating here is that when future historians look back at this exact block of time, they won't point to a single event as the turning point of our era.
Right, it's not just one thing.
No, they won't just point to one election or one piece of legislation or even one crisis. Instead, they will see this 14-year period as a massive compounding transition.
A compounding transition.
Yeah.
I like that phrasing.
It is the visible structural shift from the post-World War II global order, the rules-based international system we all grew up taking for granted, into a brand new, entirely different global reality.
A completely new reality. Now, before we jump into this timeline, I want to explicitly state something very important.
Definitely a good idea.
We are covering a period filled with highly polarized political events. We're going to be talking about impeachments, culture wars, protests, and intense global conflicts.
It's heavy.
It does. And I want to assure you, the listener, right now, we are not taking any political sides today.
Absolutely not. That defeats the entire purpose of historical analysis.
Right. Our goal is purely to report impartially on the facts and the overarching themes presented in this source material.
We're just looking at the architecture of the era.
Exactly. We want to help you understand the broader historical shifts without the partisan noise. We are just looking at the architecture of how the world changed. Okay, let's unpack this. We need to rewind the clock to June 2015.
The atmosphere in 2015 is vital to understand. The timeline begins with Donald Trump announcing his candidacy for the presidency.
The escalator moment.
Right. But the dossier emphasizes that this didn't happen in a vacuum. It highlights the rapid rise of an anti-establishment sentiment across both major political parties in the United States.
But let's pause there because I think a lot of people forget the why. Why was everyone so angry in 2015?
That's a great question.
I mean, the economy on paper was recovering from the 2008 financial crisis,
Yeah.
right? Stock markets were doing okay. So why this sudden, massive rejection of the political establishment across the board?
Because that recovery on paper wasn't felt in reality by a vast swath of the population.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, the post-2008 recovery was incredibly uneven. If you owned asset stocks, coastal real estate, you recovered.
But if you didn't,
Well, the hollowing out of the manufacturing sector, the stagnation of middle-class wages, it all contributed. And the feeling that political elites in Washington were entirely disconnected from the struggles of the working class had really reached a boiling point.
so the whole globalization pitch wasn't working for everyone.
Exactly. The promise of globalization was that free trade would lift all boats. By 2015, millions of voters felt their boat was actively sinking while the elite sailed by on yachts.
And the source specifically notes that migration suddenly became a central election theme, acting as like a proxy for these anxieties about globalization and border security.
Yes, very much so.
But this wasn't just an American phenomenon, was it? The dossier places the Brexit referendum in the United Kingdom right next to these U.S. developments.
Yes. The Brexit vote in the UK serves as a massive parallel indicator. It was a symptom of those same intense debates over globalization.
So it was happening everywhere.
Pretty much. Working class voters in multiple Western democracies were pushing back against the economic status quo.
That makes sense.
The dossier inextricably links the UK's pushback against the bureaucratic structure of the European Union with the American electorate's pushback against traditional political dynasties, you know, like the Bushes and the Clintons.
Okay, but anti-establishment movements have existed before. What made this one actually break through and take power?
The media landscape.
Right. The source identifies the breakthrough of social media as the main platform for political communication, specifically X, which was then Twitter.
It was a massive paradigm shift. Social media stopped being a place just to share photos of your lunch and became the primary battleground for political narrative.
Let me test an analogy on you.
Go for it.
Looking at the source's emphasis on social media breaking through in 2016, I look at it like the invention of the printing press in the 15th century.
The Gutenberg press? How so?
Well, the printing press didn't just change what was being written. It completely bypassed the traditional gatekeepers.
Oh, I see where you're going.
Yeah, before the printing press, the monks and the church hierarchy controlled the flow of information. They told you what the text meant. Suddenly, pamphlets could be printed cheaply and handed directly to the public.
And social media did the exact same thing to legacy media.
Exactly. Candidates didn't need a polished press conference vetted by editorial boards anymore. They could speak directly to the public in unfiltered, real-time bursts. They bypassed the modern monks.
That is a very accurate way to view the mechanical shift. But there's an added layer of complexity with social media that the printing press didn't have.
Which is?
Algorithms. It wasn't just a decentralized flow of information. It was an incentivized flow of information.
Oh, because it pushes certain content to the top.
Right. The architecture of these platforms rewarded emotional resonance, outrage, and immediate reaction over nuanced policy debate.
Which changes how politicians actually talk.
Exactly. When you bypass the gatekeepers and use a medium that rewards high emotion, you get raw, direct communication that deeply radicalizes and polarizes the electorate.
And that direct line of communication deepened the polarization between the traditional media and the candidates, culminating in the 2016 election.
Which brings us to the 2017 presidency.
Right. The source marks this with a flurry of major paradigm-shifting policies right out of the gate. We have travel bans. We see massive immigration discussions and the push for a Mexico border wall.
We also see the appointment of Neil Gorsuch to the Supreme Court.
Which was huge.
Yes, signaling a long-term conservative shift in the judiciary and major corporate tax reforms meant to incentivize domestic business.
But the foreign policy shifts are where the timeline really starts highlighting global friction. The U.S. announces its withdrawal from the Paris Climate Agreement.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, the Paris withdrawal wasn't just about environmental policy.
No. What was the deeper meaning?
It was a fundamental signaling mechanism to the rest of the world. It signaled a shift from multilateralism, the idea that nations work together in massive global frameworks, to unilateralism, or America first.
Mm.
Yeah, it was the U.S. saying, we are no longer subordinating our domestic economic interests to international consensus.
And the diplomatic whiplash for allies must have been intense.
It was unprecedented. The entire post-WWII architecture was built on the assumption of American leadership in these global frameworks.
So when the U.S. stepped back,
it created a vacuum, and it created profound friction with traditional European allies who suddenly didn't know how to navigate a world where Washington wasn't leading the choir.
I want you listening to this right now to think back to how your own media consumption changed during this specific window of 2015 to 2017.
It's a great exercise.
Did you start getting more news from a feed rather than an evening broadcast? Did you notice your digital circles becoming more defined, maybe more combative?
Most people probably did.
Because that personal psychological shift you experienced on your smartphone was actually the foundation of this global political realignment.
Exactly. The micro changes in consumer behavior scaled up to macro changes in geopolitics.
And that domestic disruption quickly spilled over international borders.
Which takes us right into the events of 2018 and 2019. The America First policy goes into absolute overdrive.
The timeline highlights the beginning of the trade war with China. And it's not just China.
No, it's Europe too.
Right. The U.S. imposes import tariffs on steel and aluminum, which immediately causes skyrocketing tensions with European trade partners.
It fundamentally rattled the global supply chain.
But wait, help me understand the mechanism here. The source calls this an economic nationalization worldwide. But aren't tariffs just taxes? Why did putting a tax on imported steel disrupt the entire global order? Countries do protectionist stuff all the time.
It's a fair question. To understand the disruption, you have to look at how hyper-optimized the global supply chain had become by 2018.
Right.
For decades, companies built just-in-time manufacturing networks. A single car might have parts from 30 different countries, crossing borders dozens of times before assembly.
So they didn't keep huge stockpiles of parts in warehouses.
Exactly. The system assumed borders were practically invisible.
Basically, peak globalization. Finding the cheapest labor and materials anywhere on Earth.
Precisely. But tariffs throw sand into the gears of that hyper-optimized machine. When the U.S. suddenly slapped tariffs on steel and aluminum, it wasn't just a minor tax.
Broke the math.
It suddenly made domestic manufacturing supply chains wildly unpredictable. Companies didn't know what their raw materials would cost next month.
That sounds chaotic.
It was. And more importantly, it signaled to the rest of the world that the era of frictionless global trade was over. It forced other nations to retaliate with their own tariffs.
A chain reaction of protectionism.
Exactly. But the dossier points out a much more critical subplot regarding technology.
Oh, this is the Huawei stuff.
Right. Amidst this trade war, we see early intense discussions about technological dependency on China, specifically focusing on the telecom giant Huawei.
This is the part that blows my mind. The source explicitly marks this Huawei situation as the beginning of broader geopolitical decoupling between the U.S. and China.
It is arguably one of the most important inflection points in the entire 14-year timeline.
But I'm going to push back here. Why is a fight over a 5G telecom company considered the start of a Cold War and not just classic economic protectionism?
You mean, why isn't it just about selling cell phone towers?
Yeah. Is it just two countries arguing over market share?
That's how it appeared on the surface, but the underlying reality was entirely different. We have to look at what 5G actually is.
Okay, what is it?
It's not just about downloading a movie faster on your phone. 5G infrastructure is the central nervous system of a nation's future economy.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it controls the data flow for automated factories, power grids, autonomous vehicles, and even military communications.
So whoever builds the pipes essentially has access to everything flowing through them.
Exactly. The U.S. intelligence apparatus and its allies realized a terrifying vulnerability.
Which is,
if you allow a geopolitical rival to build your national 5G infrastructure, you are potentially giving them a backdoor into your entire digital existence. You are handing them the kill switch to your economy.
So banning Huawei wasn't about protecting American telecom profits at all.
No, it was the sudden, stark realization that in the 21st century, technology and national security are completely indistinguishable.
So the tariffs on soybeans and steel were just noise. The bans on 5G network contracts were the actual opening salvos of a digital and infrastructural Cold War.
That is precisely what the source is pointing toward. It was the moment the world realized that globalization had created catastrophic security vulnerabilities.
That is wild to think about. And while this immense global decoupling is happening in 2018, the timeline shifts back to intense domestic polarization in 2019.
Right, coming back home.
The dossier lists a massive escalation of culture and identity politics. The debates over big tech censorship become a central issue. People are arguing over who controls the digital public square.
And amidst this exhaustion, the dossier highlights a very specific cultural shift in media consumption.
Which I love. The explosive growth of podcasts and political communication.
It's fascinating that this made the top 100 list.
I know. I mean, think about the psychology of that. For years, the traditional news cycle was getting faster, louder, and more fragmented.
Mm-hmm.
We were living in a 140-character, heavily algorithm-driven outrage cycle. And the human brain just got exhausted. We burnt out on the dopamine hits of constant outrage.
It was total cognitive overload?
Exactly. So people started seeking out the exact opposite. They wanted deeper, long-form discussions.
Like this one.
Yes. It's a great reminder for you, the listener, of how seamlessly podcasts began replacing traditional news broadcasts during this highly polarized era.
I needed a break.
They really did.
Yeah.
People didn't want a 3-minute shouting match on cable news. They wanted to listen to two people sit in a room for 3 hours and actually hear a full, uninterrupted thought.
It was almost an intellectual rebellion against the speed of the internet.
I totally agree.
And the public desperately needed that space for nuance because the political environment in 2019 was incredibly tense.
Very tense.
We see the investigation into the Ukraine phone call, which leads directly to the start of the first impeachment procedure against Donald Trump in the House of Representatives.
Right. And simultaneously, there are rising tensions with Iran in the Middle East.
A general increase in geopolitical uncertainty.
And we start seeing strengthened, highly polarized discussions about election integrity. It feels like a pressure cooker.
That's a good way to put it.
The domestic temperature is boiling, the international order is fracturing, and the tech landscape is being weaponized.
It was a global system under maximum stress, but neither the politicians, nor the tech billionaires, nor the general public knew what was coming.
No one did.
An unprecedented global shock was about to hit, a shock that would take all these existing fractures and blow them wide open.
All of this political tension was creating a global pressure cooker. But the spark that blew the lid off wasn't political. It was biological.
The pandemic.
Let's talk about 2020 and 2021. The timeline marks the arrival of COVID-19 in the United States.
The cascade of events triggered by this biological shock is just staggering.
It really is.
The timeline lists worldwide lockdowns, a total synchronized global economic standstill, something we had never seen in modern history.
Entire cities just empty.
And in response, historical economic stimulus programs are launched by governments simply trying to keep their citizens financially afloat.
And the secondary effects of those lockdowns are massive. The source points out an extreme acceleration in working from home,
which forces a rapid digital transformation of both the economy and the education system.
What's crucial to understand here is how the pandemic acted as a massive historical accelerant.
Economists and tech analysts often point out that the economic digitization that was organically supposed to take a decade happened in a matter of months.
Weeks, even.
Yeah. Supply chains, retail, white-collar work, elementary schooling, everything was forced through a digital funnel overnight out of pure necessity.
So what does this all mean, like, for actual human beings?
It was deeply jarring.
I look at the year 2020 as a time machine, but not a fun one.
How so?
It violently pulled 2030s, technology like mass remote work, telehealth, and intense total reliance on digital communication back into 2020.
I see.
And in doing so, it created immense friction.
How do you mean friction?
Well, we suddenly had future technology, but we still had legacy human psychology and mid-20th century democratic institutions.
Ah, right.
Our brains simply weren't evolved to process all of our social interactions, all of our fears, and all of our politics exclusively through a glowing rectangle in our living rooms.
That's very true.
The friction of pulling that digital future into the present put extreme untested stress on the social fabric.
That time machine analogy is deeply perceptive, especially when you consider the psychological toll.
It was a rough time.
The source material neutrally lays out the consequences of that stress. You have a population that is biologically isolated, fundamentally anxious about a deadly virus, glued to screens, driven by polarizing algorithms, and economically vulnerable.
The perfect tinderbox.
Exactly. And into that exact tinderbox, the timeline places the sweeping Black Lives Matter protests across the nation.
The largest mass protests in U.S. history, happening right in the middle of a pandemic.
And immediately following that, the 2020 presidential elections, which Joe Biden wins, this election outcome instantly sparks prolonged, intense debates over election results and institutional trust.
It really is the perfect storm. The digital isolation fundamentally shaped how people consumed information about the election and the protests.
It absolutely did.
I'd ask you, the listener, to reflect on your own life during that time. Think back to those months.
Yeah.
How did your work shift?
How did your relationships change?
Yeah, when they became entirely virtual. And how might that physical isolation combined with social media algorithms that feed on anxiety have shaped your own worldview during that intense 2020 election cycle?
It shaped everyone's worldview, regardless of their political affiliation. It altered the baseline of human trust.
And that unprecedented pressure carried directly into 2021.
Which the dossier starkly categorizes under themes of democracy under pressure.
We see the January 6th storming of the Capitol building.
This leads to a second impeachment procedure and eventually the transition of power to the Biden administration.
But the shocks to the system didn't stop at the water's edge just because there was a new administration?
No, not at all.
The timeline shows the U.S. attempting to re-engage with the world, returning to the Paris Climate Agreement and accelerating the domestic vaccination campaign.
But then we hit a massive foreign policy inflection point.
The withdrawal from Afghanistan.
Yes. The dossier specifically notes that the chaotic nature of the Afghanistan withdrawal sparked a major international discussion about American reliability.
I remember the imagery from that. It was jarring.
It was a profound geopolitical signal. Traditional allies in Europe and Asia began asking very uncomfortable questions.
Like what?
Well, if the United States could execute such a rapid and chaotic exit from a 20-year commitment, could they still be counted on as the undisputed stabilizing guarantor of global security?
The perception of American deterrence took a significant hit.
It really did.
Add to that the continued steady rise in tensions between Washington and Beijing. And the timeline highlights a fascinating cultural and tech phenomenon here.
The massive growing role of TikTok.
Which perfectly encapsulates the new era of geopolitical anxiety. TikTok wasn't just a platform for viral dances anymore.
No, it became a focal point for national security debates regarding foreign data collection and algorithm manipulation.
It was basically the Huawei debate, but aimed directly at the minds of teenagers and young voters.
Exactly.
And right alongside this anxiety, the timeline notes the beginning of the AI era, entering broad societal discussion. We start hearing whispers of artificial intelligence moving out of the lab and into the real world.
Right. While America was deeply focused on its internal democratic pressures, pandemic recovery, and inflation,
the tectonic plates of global power and technology were shifting rapidly under the surface.
And a massive historic geopolitical earthquake was building in Eastern Europe.
Which takes us right into the events of 2022 and 2023. Event 61 on the timeline fundamentally changes the entire trajectory of the decade.
The Russian invasion of Ukraine.
The impact of this invasion cannot be overstated.
It shattered the post-Cold War illusion that major mechanized land wars in Europe were a thing of the past.
We thought we were past that.
We did. The dossier outlines the immediate domino effect. Massive coordinated European sanction packages against Russia.
But those sanctions immediately triggered a severe European energy crisis.
Because Europe, particularly industrial powerhouses like Germany, was heavily dependent on cheap Russian natural gas.
Right. They had built their economic model on the assumption that economic integration with Russia would prevent conflict.
And that assumption collapsed overnight.
Help me break down the mechanics of this energy crisis, because it's not as simple as just, you know, buying gas from someone else.
Not at all. Natural gas isn't like crude oil that you can just easily throw on any ship. The infrastructure is incredibly rigid. Europe had massive physical pipelines connecting them directly to Russian gas fields.
So they were physically tethered together.
Exactly. When that supply was threatened, pivoting to liquefied natural gas, or LNG, from places like the United States or Qatar required entirely different infrastructure.
Like what kind of infrastructure?
Specialized, super-chilled ships and massive regasification terminals at European ports, which take years to build.
So they were physically, infrastructurally trapped.
Yes. And in response to this vulnerability, we see a historic, rapid surge in European defense spending.
Finland and Sweden, countries with long, proud histories of neutrality or non-alignment, immediately apply for NATO membership.
And then there are the still mysterious explosions at the Nord Stream pipelines beneath the Baltic Sea,
physically severing the energy tie between Russia and Germany.
And the source points out that this immense energy crisis forced a massive acceleration in the green energy transition.
And a strengthening of what it calls European strategic autonomy.
That's a vital piece of think tank jargon that we really need to unpack.
Yeah, please do. European strategic autonomy sounds like a very polite way of saying something drastic.
It is.
Does that basically just mean Europe decided to start building its own microchips and solar panels instead of buying them from abroad so they couldn't be held hostage by dictators?
That is exactly what it means. For decades, Europe outsourced its security to the United States, its manufacturing to China, and its energy to Russia.
Wow, when you put it like that.
Strategic autonomy was the brutal realization that this model was a fatal vulnerability. They realized they had to onshore critical manufacturing.
Secure their own energy independence through renewables and nuclear.
And build their own defense capabilities. It meant fundamentally reorienting global supply chains away from hostile or unpredictable nations.
What is truly fascinating, and honestly a bit dizzying, about this 2022 to 2023 window is the sheer duality of human progress and regression happening at the exact same moment.
The juxtaposition is striking.
On one hand, you have the return of brutal 20th century territorial warfare in Ukraine, trench warfare, artillery barrages, tank battles.
Right.
And on the exact same timeline, you have the dawn of a 21st century sci-fi reality.
You're referring to the tech breakthroughs of 2023.
Yes. Event 71, the breakthrough of generative AI, the explosive, unprecedented growth of ChatGPT and similar systems.
The world is suddenly thrust into intense debates on AI regulation.
Europe starts developing comprehensive AI legislation, and the societal threat of deepfakes becomes a major mainstream concern.
It is a bizarre, almost surreal split screen of human history.
It really is.
On one screen, you are watching drone footage of World War I-style artillery craters in Eastern Europe. And on the other screen, you are watching neural networks learn to write complex software code, generate photorealistic art, and mimic human reasoning.
It's mind-bending.
But what's crucial to understand is that these two screens are actually deeply connected.
How so?
Because the energy crisis and the geopolitical fracturing forced this concept of strategic autonomy, which linked national security directly to technological dominance.
Wow.
The race for AI isn't just about making cooler chatbots. It's an arms race for economic and military supremacy.
And that brings up such a huge irony that the dossier points out. For the last 20 years, we thought the future was entirely ethereal.
Like it was all in the cloud.
Yes. We thought it was all about software and code. But suddenly, as we enter the AI era, physical resources, literal dirt in the ground, became just as important as cloud computing.
It's a huge pivot.
Look at Event 80 on this timeline. Canada emerges as a vital strategic partner for raw materials.
A critical shift in global power dynamics.
I mean, think about Canada, often viewed quietly on the global stage, known for being polite, having great maple syrup, stunning landscapes.
And suddenly they become a geopolitical VIP.
Let's explore that. It feels like a new oil boom, but instead of drilling for crude to power combustion engines, we're mining for critical minerals to power tech and green energy.
That is precisely the mechanism at work. The advanced microchips that train generative AI models, the massive batteries required for electric vehicles in the energy transition, the sophisticated components for next generation military hardware, they don't run on air.
No, they need physical stuff.
They require highly specific raw materials, cobalt, lithium, nickel, rare earth elements.
And historically, China dominated the processing of those materials.
Overwhelmingly. So, when the West realized it could no longer rely on geopolitical rivals for these materials, especially in the midst of a digital Cold War, they had to scramble.
For stable allied nations.
Exactly. Nations with vast natural resources and strong mining sectors. Canada fits that profile perfectly.
They have the resources, the rule of law, and they share a massive secure border with the U.S.
So in the midst of a massive artificial intelligence explosion, the physical dirt in the ground became strategically vital again.
This isn't just about high-level politics or abstract global strategy. I want to connect this directly to you, the listener.
It affects everyday life.
The reason the electric car you tried to buy in 2023 was suddenly thousands of dollars more expensive, or why it was backordered for 8 months, was directly tied to this exact geopolitical battle over critical minerals and semiconductor supply chains.
The macro deeply affected the micro.
Try to remember the exact moment you first used ChatGPT in 2023. Try to recall how that felt. You were typing prompts into this incredible artificial intelligence, asking it to write a poem or debug code, while simultaneously reading headlines about tank battles in Eastern Europe and global scrambles for Canadian mining rights.
It really is a profound contradictory moment in human history.
Here's where it gets really interesting. All these massive global forces, the geopolitical fracturing, the technological arms race, the economic realignment, we're on a direct collision course with the American political system.
Which brings us to the final act.
Section 5, the election climax and the new global reality, mapping out 2024 through the end of the timeline in 2029.
We enter the 2024 election year. Donald Trump wins the Republican nomination once again, setting up an intense political rematch.
And the source heavily highlights that this specific year is defined by historic, unprecedented legal proceedings against a former president.
This leads to intense debates regarding the boundaries of presidential immunity.
Ultimately culminating in landmark Supreme Court rulings on the scope of presidential powers.
It's completely uncharted territory, legally and politically.
The foundations of American constitutional law are being tested in real time. And intersecting right in the middle of this legal and political storm is Event 84.
The increasing, highly visible influence of AI in election campaigns.
The technology that broke through just a year prior is now an active, potent participant in the democratic process.
We see the deployment of algorithmic targeting, the rapid generation of campaign materials,
and the pervasive fear of deepfakes manipulating voter perception in the final days of a campaign.
And the global view during this period is critical. The dossier notes that the entire world is watching the U.S. elections with bated breath.
Because the stakes are so high for everyone?
Exactly. Europe is growing deeply concerned over the future and stability of NATO, depending on the outcome. Trade tensions are intensifying globally, and we are seeing a deepening of geopolitical bloc formation.
By bloc formation, the dossier means the world is effectively dividing into distinct competing camps, right?
Yes. The post-Cold War era of a single unified global market is fracturing into a U.S.-aligned bloc, a China-Russia-aligned bloc, and a fiercely contested middle ground of non-aligned nations trying to play both sides for resources and security.
The timeline then projects into the consequences of this era, mapping out the architecture of 2025 to 2029. We see accelerated, concrete actions toward European defense independence.
They aren't just talking about strategic autonomy anymore. There is a massive, tangible expansion of the European defense industrial base.
There's also a structural, permanent shift in world trade patterns. The old routes are abandoned for safer allied shores.
The U.S.-China competition continues to increase, moving beyond just tariffs into full-spectrum technological and economic rivalry.
The international struggle for critical raw materials, that new oil boom we discussed, intensifies dramatically.
And AI breaks through not just as a novelty or a campaign tool, but as a fundamental economic production factor.
What does that mean exactly, a production factor?
Well, in classical economics, the factors of production are land, labor, and capital. By the late 2020s, AI becomes the fourth pillar.
Oh, I see.
It fundamentally changes how goods are designed, how logistics are routed, how medical research is conducted, and how white-collar labor is valued.
It is integrated into the baseline of the global economy, much like electricity was a century prior.
The final transformation mapped out in this dossier is staggering.
Event 99 notes the complete redefinition of international alliances. Treaties and partnerships that define the 20th century are rewritten or discarded based on this new reality of tech security and resource scarcity.
And finally, Event 100, the absolute final point on this 14-year timeline, is not a policy or a war.
No, it's a profound psychological shift. Broad recognition that the pre-2015 world order no longer exists.
This raises an important question for anyone trying to study this era. How do we possibly synthesize all of this?
That's so much.
The authors of the dossier provide a comprehensive historical conclusion. They state that this era wasn't just a series of policy changes or isolated crises. It was a structural redefinition of human civilization.
They combine the initial rise of populism, the chaos of the digital revolution, the breakthrough of AI, the violent return of geopolitical rivalry.
The war in Ukraine, the desperate energy transition, the reorientation of Europe.
The demographic and economic rise of China and India, and a fundamentally irrevocably changing United States.
You know, reading Event 100, that broad societal recognition that the old world is just gone, it reminds me of the fall of the Berlin Wall.
Really? How so?
Well, instead of happening overnight with people joyously hitting concrete with sledgehammers on live television, it happened in slow motion, grinding away over 14 years.
A slow motion collapse of an era.
Yes. We didn't realize the old house was being torn down because we were already living inside the newly built one.
Oh, that's such a good way to put it. We were busy putting up drywall and installing new smart home tech while the old foundation silently crumbled beneath us.
We were too busy arguing on Twitter or hoarding toilet paper during a pandemic or playing with ChatGPT to realize that the fundamental architecture of the globe had been completely renovated around us.
That is a very perceptive way to frame it. The changes felt incremental day by day. A tariff here, a pipeline explosion there, a software update. But they were absolutely epical when viewed from a distance.
They truly were.
I really want you, the listener, to absorb this because it's deeply personal. You have lived through this historic 14-year transition.
It's your history.
The world you are operating in right now, the way you buy things, the way you use technology at your job, the alliances that protect your country, the price of your groceries operates on fundamentally different rules than it did just a decade ago.
The Trump era, spanning from 2015 to 2029, as the dossier clearly concludes, was not merely a localized political period in American history. It was an exceptional, volatile, global tipping point where the foundations of the 21st century world order visibly and permanently shifted.
It really was. Which brings us to the end of our deep dive today.
It's been quite a journey.
To summarize our massive takeaway from Appendix A, we've traced the initial spark of anti-establishment sentiment, the wild disruption of social media bypassing traditional gatekeepers, the fracturing of global trade into a digital Cold War.
A once-in-a-century pandemic that served as a technological time machine.
The brutal return of land war in Europe, forcing strategic autonomy, the frantic scramble for physical dirt to power the green transition, and the birth of artificial intelligence as a core economic pillar.
It is a breathtaking, almost overwhelming amount of human history packed into an incredibly short time frame.
It is a lot to process.
But I want to bring in a final grounding detail from the introduction to Appendix B to leave you with.
Let's hear it.
The dossier makes a profound statement. Hisming is often described by massive events, but events are ultimately influenced by individual people. These 100 world-altering events were shaped by 100 influential people making highly specific decisions on democracy, the economy, technology, and the climate.
And that is the perfect note to end on. History isn't just an unstoppable wave that washes over us. It's complex, it's murky, and it is entirely driven by human choices and human friction.
Exactly.
So we want to leave you with this provocative thought to mull over as you go about your day. If a specific small group of people managed to completely reshape the last 14 years through their use of technology, politics, and media,
how will the actions you take today?
In your local community, in your voting habits, in the way you spend your money, or how you choose to use and interact with AI, shape the next 14 years of this brand new world order?
A vital question for all of us as we navigate this new reality.
Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive. Keep questioning the information around you, and we'll see you next time.